Taste and see the Lord is good. Drink from the cup of his forgiveness. Never mind where you have been.
Welcome to another edition of the Deacon's Roundtable here on WSFI FM 88.1, right? I don't have it in front of me today. Angela, what's the station number? AM 750. We'll get that right. Anyway, welcome to Deacon's Roundtable. I'm Deacon Greg Webster from St. Raphael the Archangel Catholic Church in Old Mill Creek, Illinois, the Archdiocese of Chicago's greatest parish. And we have Deacon Mike Alandi from the second greatest parish from the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Second.
And we have Deacon Dave Egan from kicked out of all the parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago, now down in evangelizing in Tennessee. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you.
And as we always do, we will begin with a prayer from Deacon Mike.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. O people, the Lord is our God and God alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, and with your whole might. Peace upon us, peace upon all in the world today. Amen.
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 So we were talking about what we were going to do this month in our show, and we started talking about maybe we'll do some of the big news stories of 2023. Be careful what you ask for, because as we were discussing this, we got the biggest news story of 2023, and I think that's a good place. We'll start there. So if Dave wants to lead us into this, we'll take off.
Well, yeah, so let's go walking on hopefully what initially seems as eggshells, but hopefully ending on what a absolutely great pastoral letter Fiducius Supplicanus was from the Pope Francis, or actually from Cardinal Ferdinand with the blessing of Pope Francis. And what it is a document which, on the surface, if you look at just a straight news media, gives clergy the right to bless people in irregular situations. And that would be as far as considering that people who are not married, including people that are in same-sex relationships. And that's the headlines, and people are quite upset about it, saying that, well, isn't this breaking with church tradition? You know, what about the sanctity of marriage? We've always been taught that no matter what happens, a marriage is only between a man and a woman, that it's open to procreation as well as the unitive factors, and that any sex outside a marital, a normal marital situation is wrong. It's illicit and sinful. So, I mean, that's what the major newspapers and if the news media came off at, looking at it. But read the document today, and
wait a second, Dave. You're going to talk on something you've actually read instead of just giving your opinion from what you hear in the news media? What kind of American broadcaster are you?
I tell you, it just, you know, there's no
Dave, what's the name of the document, just for the sake of everybody?
I'm probably going to kill the Latin. It's Fiducia Supplicanus. It's Fiducia Supplicanus, and it's on the pastoral meanings of blessings.
And it's also from the diastery, and it's not actually from Pope Francis.
Yeah, it's from the diastery with the blessing of the Pope.
So it's an interesting document, and Dave, I'm sorry to convince you. We'll let you continue before we talk about it.
Okay, so... what the document actually states, when someone really reads it, is that without question, it says that the marriage is only between a man and a woman, and that that union is to be open to procreation as well as a unit, and that is the only thing that is the definition of marriage. If those two requirements aren't done, then that is not the definition of marriage in the Catholic Church.
So I think, go ahead, Mike.
Number of times.
I just want to clarify. So you're saying two things with marriage. It has to be unitive, and there has to be the procreation part.
It has to be open to procreation.
I think the important thing to say, Mike, it didn't change anything on the doctrine of marriage.
It reinforced everything that has been said.
Well, you know, and we can talk into some of the it's a messy document. You know, I mean, yes, you can find that in the document, but you don't find it on page one. you have to look for it. But the problem I have with what they did is I don't know that how much notice the bishops had. They had obviously had some, but you know. If you open the newspapers yesterday, the Chicago Sun-Times and stuff, all they interviewed you were basically pro-alphabet soup people and people looking for changes in the doctrine as if this was a major change for it. And so the hallmark of the pontificate of Francis was very poor media preparation for the step. I don't know if that's intentional or not. We can talk about that. But, you know, everything in the media was about how this was a big change in the church, and it's not, well, for lack of a better term.
I would agree with you, but I put an asterisk to it. I think that the biggest change was him pointing out the awareness of God's blessings are for everybody. But
you could say there can be an emphasis change, a focus change, but that's not a doctrinal change, right? I mean,
I agree with you. I agree with you totally. It is not a doctrinal change. And as I said, that was stated, I think, at least three or four times. Right. And the other thing which I think that was stressed a number of times, which is going to make the people in Germany not too happy, at least the bishops not in Germany, it was stated that it is not the right of bishops to make all of these rights and changes for a church that universal, that is outside the realm of their authority.
And that's why I was wondering, what is the purpose of this document?
Good question.
Was the purpose of this document to stop the German people, the bishops, from creating rights that they can't create now because of this document that was there? Was it, you know, politically saying we're embracing church because it's at Christmas? Why this document and why now? Why wouldn't the Vatican say that? And that's why I think people are on some of the other are a little edgy. Why now? Why this? What's the real intent? What's going on here? It's not a change in document. You know, priests have always had the ability to bless people, and they're not supposed to walk up and say, "Tell me about yourself." You know, people, you know, as a priest walk out, you know, on the street and say, "Father, will you bless me?" He doesn't interview to see what your lifestyle is. He says, "God's blessing upon you," and that's always been the tradition of the church.
It is. But so the thing that I think got pushed in this document, which is that I was very happy to see, is that the acknowledgement that we're all sinful people with our follies and sins galore that we have.
Thank you.
And to have it being said that when someone requests a blessing, they're asking to become closer to God.
Right.
I'm confused by the word blessing. I hear that 100 times when they talk about this, Fidelis Supplicanti. I hear that 100. What do you mean by blessing?
Haven't you ever someone say, "Father, bless me"?
Is it a sacramental?
Father, would you give me a blessing? That's all I take from it. Maybe I'm different. You know, Dave did read it differently. But it's not liturgical. There's nothing liturgical
about
this.
That is the key point, that the blessing is not part of a liturgical rite.
So it's not a sacramental.
It is not. It's sacramental, but it's not liturgical.
Yeah, it's not a. I mean, if there was a couple in an irregular union
of any type,
if they were presenting themselves as being in that union, the blessing should not take place.
So, what would be the situation when they come to me and say, "Deacon, bless us"? Okay, same sex.
Has that ever happened?
if they come to me, like I have a regular,
but
it happened to me.
But let's take
a regular couple approaches me. Okay, says, "Bless us, we've been married for 20 years. Okay, what church were you married? We were never married in church. I was blessing 25 years.
But you can still pray for them. What's the big deal?
I'm not saying I didn't pray for them. I'm saying, how do I bless them as the same, as a couple or as individuals?
You put your hands over them and you say something to the extent of,
you know, that's,
Lord bless you and keep you.
That's what the bishops have to come up with, Mike. That's another problem with this document, is that now we're going to have a whole bunch of dioceses where the bishops are doing different things for that. For me, you don't bless couples that aren't married. You can bless individuals, but you don't bless bless
unions. I'm in a very awkward situation. I'm blessing this 25-year anniversary. They were married in church and their family's there. The neighbor isn't married, and they were also married civilly about 25 years, wants to be blessed at the same time together with the friend.
No, because that becomes liturgical. The document says no. You have to do it outside of, it can't look like it's any sort of agreement that outside of the union. So you can take them out front or whatever you can, but you can't in front of the altar make it look like an endorsement of that union. That's in the document. Well, at least that's some of the interpretations of priests that I've read the document.
I'll give you another one where that sort of falls in place. And there was a chaplain at a retirement community, and the director of pastoral care, or whatever she was at that point, wanted to have a marriage ceremony, you know, for people to renew their vows. And I said that I can't do that. I mean, I can go to individual people that have done it, but I cannot do a group renewal of vows, because that can be interpreted as the church's blessing upon their union. And unless I know the particulars of every single one in that room, it is not going to happen. And she was really upset about that and called up the one of the judicial officers in the church, and they said the exact same thing that I said.
Yeah.
And so, and that's the thing that you have to avoid.
But that's the scary thing of this document. And I think that's what makes people afraid, is we know we live in a world where people are going to stretch every rule that we have. We have countries that are really stretching rules in Europe. But what does this do to – does that encourage him? I mean, you had James Martin's text to the world. Oh, this is another great step forward. It's like, why is it a step forward? In alphabet soup people, why is it? I mean, granted, it doesn't forbid that, but I mean, to me, the challenge of this document is it's kind of Jesuit crosstalk. You know, it's you know, because Francis, as I said, you know, I believe in the sanctity of marriage. We're not changing anything, but why can't you bless people? You know, it's not that. He's never cares about the gray. It's the black and white. And granted, that's a good thing for people who aren't messing around, you know. But we know there's so much messing around liturgically. You know, we could, even in our diocese, we have parishes that do things that I'm like, why are they allowed to do this? You know, I'm not going to mention any of them on the air. But and in our show, we can talk about that in another area about bishops. But that's the problem, is why do we have to be so ambiguous in this document
Agree with you.
And if Rome is going to be ambiguous, then why weren't the United States bishops prepared to say, and this is what we do in the United States? So now we got this is thrown out. And all the people, as they always do with everything that Francis says, take it to the extreme that may or may not have been his intent, because he doesn't tell you his intent. And then the bishops are have to clean up the mess that's coming in here. Liturgically, doctrinally, he didn't change anything from anything from John Paul II or Benedict or anything else. He didn't change anything. But, you know, at Christmas time, I don't want to be dealing with this mess. I want to be dealing with the incarnation of God in coming into this world. That's what I want to be dealing with this week.
Well, go ahead, Mike.
What I'm worried about is maybe we don't say it in words, but our actions speak louder than words, and it sends a different message depending on who sees it and interprets it. Like children, they don't listen so much to their parents as they imitate the parents.
Great comment.
So,
but that's the problem with the Catholic Church, is we have people that are seeing and interpreting without knowing or taking the time to either read the document, as Dave said, or even understanding the theology behind it. You know, it's my opinion. When I have students at the University of Mary, they say, well, I think. It's like, you know what? You're writing an academic paper. I don't care what you think. Who are you to think, you know, in this type of aspect? You know, quote a saint, quote somebody else, quote the doctrine, quote the catechism of the church. Don't give me your personal opinion. The Chicago Sun-Times took opinions from all these groups because they intentionally slanted the article toward what they wanted to say. And that's the part the church doesn't protect itself from.
I'm not worried about media, because media will always do what they want to do. Okay, I'm really more worried about how our people, the faithful, the Catholic, are interpreting it. That's where my concern is, because the media will always paint us differently.
Right. So we have to wait for how Supic is going to interpret it in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Dave's got to wait for the bishop that he's at in Knoxville, and we all have to understand, you know. And
Supic said he supports it.
Of course he does. There's nothing doctrinal or different.
Yeah, he supports it.
Yes, but what does that mean?
Exactly.
That's the challenge.
Exactly.
And as a deacon, and not a priest, but as a deacon, you know, they tell us everything, you know, do the red, say the black. What is the red and black on this document?
Exactly.
Teach me that, because I want to know. Love everybody. I'm with you.
For
you know?
Once, I'm happy with
everyone's
you.
Everyone's a sinner. But you know what? It's the same thing. But how many people in our church are having issues with pornography that ask for blessings? Does that, you know, that should drive us just as much crazy? How many people living in relationships that are coming to church to be married, that are already living together, and we kind of turn a blind eye to that? So if we're going to be hypocritical, why not always be hypocritical? But still, what does this help us? But we're coming up here on the first break here on the Deacons Roundtable. Thank you for joining us on WSFI 88.5 FM on your dial, AM 750, or WSFI Radio Catholic something on your computer. Please find us, because I've lost us, WSFIradio.org. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ava Burke, a producer here at WSFI and a junior at Carmel Catholic High School. We are hoping to expand WSFI to reach up to 8 million people in the Chicagoland area. To help us reach this goal, please donate to WSFI Catholic Radio. WSFI has been a vital radio station with getting the word out to so many people. Many conversions have happened through WSFI, and it has brought countless people back to the church and into the faith. But we cannot expand without your financial help. Please take a moment now to make a donation and go to WSFICatholicRadio.org or mail your check to P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Thank you for your help in making this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity happen.
Hi, Bonnie Quirk here. I'm the grandmother of 11 kids and the mother of 7. Catholic radio is absolutely essential to spread the faith. We have to have it, and we have to have it right, and WSFI has it right.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. 6048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Taste and see the Lord is good. Drink from the cup of his forgiveness. Never mind where you have been before. Everyone is welcome. Open this
door. We're back here on WSFI 88.5 on your FM dial. I got it right now, Mike.
Yep.
AM 750, and my microphone's on now, so
that's better.
But anyway, we're talking about this new—I don't even know what the right way of saying this—declaration. Declaration from the Diocese, and I'm going to turn it over to Dave because he wants to make a point, but I also want to ask him why and why now, especially during the week of the third week of Advent. So go ahead, Dave.
Can't hear you.
Dave, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Almost.
Okay, turn it up then.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay. One of the things I'd like to sort of make a comment on that before that, one of the things that Pope Francis has done, which is very different than most of the other popes, when the bishops have asked, or cardinals have asked a question, I think they call it dubia, for doubts.
Yes.
They're expecting a yes and no answer. They want it very simple, yes or no. And this pope generally has not given yes or no answers, but feels very comfortable in the gray without going to some extremes. And this document is actually, he does both of those. One, he has his yes and no's in there. Yes, the reaffirmation of the church's stance on marriage, his no to the German cardinals, and then all of this other gray area about opening that up of blessings and people and the pastoral approach. So I just want to make that as a point that this pope is different than most other popes in the past and how he responded to things. So one of the other questions of why now? I think that this issue has been going on for a while. I know in the Diocese of Knoxville, when they were sending questions out to the parishes for the input to the synod, the top comments, according to our chancellor, were issues dealing with homosexuality, especially with people's children and grandchildren. And how do they accept them if they're living outside what are the morals of the church? And it was by far the biggest concern that people had. And they were sort of, this is my interpretation, that they were sort of playing in between the moral aspects of the church and the loving aspects of parents and grandparents. And that their children, and how do I approach and deal with all of these things? Because there's many conflicting values. There was also the people themselves who were in irregular relationships who, I sort of put it, they were treated not dissimilar to other groups in the past via racism. If we even go to the Old Testament, there's the lepers of the church, that they weren't welcome to come into the community as they were, quote unquote, living in sin. But there's other.
But you know, Dave, let's stop right there. Let's stop right there, because I want to reject that. Go ahead, Mike. I'll give you a second. But I want to reject that treating the alphabet soup people with racism is a totally different issue. You can't equate that. That's just ridiculous, because you can't change your color and things like that. But you know, for the most part, I don't have to know what your alphabet soup lifestyle is. But still, your race is never a sin, but our actions are. So people are reading this document saying, oh, we want the church to condone this action. And people are saying, hey, the church is looking and condoning this action, or it's looking away at the action. And the document to me, Dave, didn't answer what you're looking for, because the really question is how do we invite people who refuse to give up an action against the church?
I think what you just did there was jump into what the media did.
I responded to what you said.
But you jumped in without finishing what the document said. That's how those people have felt. And the church is saying that there's a pastoral response. We are welcoming you into our community. We don't condone what you do, but we're welcoming into our community and helping you to have a stronger relationship with God. Now, Mike, you were going
to
say something.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the document, because that's where I have issues with. Okay. The question is, one, what is a blessing? Second, what are we blessing?
My impression is that you blessed a person, but
so I can bless an animal.
Yes, you do. In November.
I can bless a rosary.
October.
Yeah. Thank you.
So these are sacramentals, right?
So
can I bless a couple?
I think the problem is, and going back, and I'm sorry, I'm on Dave's side in this, but the we're getting caught up in the law, because I think the intention thing is how do we welcome a person? I mean, the woman at the well. He talked to the woman. He invited the woman, the woman caught in adultery. Dave, the go and sin no more aspect of it. And granted, you don't keep you need to welcome in and start a relationship, but you still have to say no. And this document doesn't do that for me.
I wouldn't say that on the first meeting. But after I got to know them, I would feel much more comfortable saying that.
What am I blessing? Am I blessing a relationship, or am I blessing an individual?
You're blessing an individual.
You cannot bless the relationship.
So the document doesn't
change that.
If the two of them come over to me, they're holding hands and says, we want your blessing. What do I do?
I can bless. What am I blessing? And if they say our marriage, then you can sort of then go into the questions that you had before. And you can say, if they say that, well, we've never been married in the church.
But I know what the situation is.
Okay? Then you can say, I cannot formally bless your marriage since you were not married in the church. I can, however, give you individual blessings that you grow in your relationship to God.
So you grow in terms of your relationship to God means you give up your relationship, because that's disordered as far as the catechism is concerned.
But isn't that true of any disorder? Because let's face it, everyone in this room, on the air and listening, has a disorder of some part. You know, we have very few Mother Teresa's and Mary's living among us.
Before you go on with that, I want to just make sure people understand what disorder means in the Catholic Church, that it isn't a disease, it is something that is irregular.
Unfortunately, it's a philosophical term that we haven't come... People take offense to it without really knowing what it is. It's out of the order. It's out of the order of nature. But still, you're living in a wrong relationship in the eyes of the Church, and the document is clear that you cannot bless that. The problem is, as Mike says to Dave, is how do you do that? I mean, how do you differentiate it? Because the intent is not... I mean, let's kid ourselves, Dave. The people walking up wanting this blessing 9 times out of 10, not all of them, aren't there to say, well, could you bless this part of me that lives good and I'm going to work on the other part? That's not there. I mean, give me a break. But the... So there's a just disingenuous aspect of it.
And if they want the blessing, why don't they just go to Sunday Mass? They will get a blessing at Mass.
That's usually when it comes up is at Sunday Mass.
What, you don't have people ask for blessings outside of Mass? I mean, that's a very, very Catholic thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. You've never been asked to bless
individuals, yes, but not a couple for their relationship.
That's true, but that doesn't... So in our experience, but granted... So I think the document... Again, the problem with the document, what is the intent and why now? Because... it really isn't that big of an issue. You know, it is in the city, but, you know, at our suburban parishes, we don't really have this issue for the most part. But, you know, is this document to stop the German bishops from going even further? You know, and of course, I understand why they don't put it in writing, but, you know, they generally, it's so ambiguous because everybody who has a stake in the game, I mean, yes, I don't want to see the German bishops be successful. So why aren't, you know, I'd like to see this document applied against them. But at the same time, I read the Chicago Sun-Times and I'm seeing all this, oh, gee, the church is moving in the direction of accepting this marriage. And the document says no. But people who are taking this document and saying yes, and even some of our bishops and our leading priests, James Martin, are influencing that way. You know, it was the Bishop of Green Bay that come back and said, you know, look at this. You know, we have had a few bishops who say, look at this. This is not changing any of the doctrine aspects of marriage. And we have Cardinal Supic saying, oh, we're making this a well-opening church. It's like, well, why are there so many messages on a document like this? It should be one message. What's the clear message? It's not there. That's my issue with the document. It's not clear. And again, why are we talking about this 4 days before Christmas?
So what happens to me as a deacon if I refuse a couple? I refuse the blessing of a couple.
You have that liturgical right. You have that right. When I have a couple, what I would do is say talk to the pastor.
Do I get fired? Do I lose my apartment? Do I lose my salary?
Well, I know what you're referencing on that, and I don't... Go ahead.
No, that's the point. Okay, what do I do as a deacon?
Okay. You wait. You wait for more information. What are you going to do as a deacon, Dave?
I would probably talk to them. So a couple came up to me, after Mass and said like the blessing, and I'd ask them why, and if it's for marriage. I would say that, give me some of the, details, as Mike said, where were you, were you married before in the church? Is this like an anniversary or something? And if they come back that they were never married in the church and said, well, formally, I can't give you the church's blessing, for your marriage because it was never sanctified in the church in the first place. But what I can do is give you individual blessings and for you to become closer to God as a couple and as individuals as you walk the journey towards God.
And they offered. I said, come to
Wait. Would you come closer to God as a couple?
I would say, because they're obviously together, and I'd want both of them to come closer to God.
Not as a couple. Not as a couple.
To come to church as a couple and get married.
Not in an irregular situation, but we can't. We can't always do it. But I think
that's assuming it was a male and female. If it was, if there was a homosexual couple, I couldn't even go that far. Yeah. But I could give the personal blessing that they both come closer to God.
So how is this different than a pedophile coming to you for a blessing?
And that's done probably quite often in church. And
well, a pornographer would be a more.
I mean, in prison. I'm sorry, I didn't mean church. In prison, and then you're asking them to say, your sins. You have to ask the forgiveness of God. I don't have the ability to forgive you.
I don't think there's any issue with the individual. I don't think there's any issue with individuals approaching the priest or the deacon for blessing.
Because if the individual is in a known state of sin,
he may even be a murderer. And
yes, but how is that okay? So how is that different? How is that different than someone in a legal relationship?
Here, are you blessing one person or are you blessing a relationship between two persons?
So you're saying it's worse to bless a relationship than someone who is a pedophile or a pornographer or something like that?
I'm not supposed to. The document says don't bless same-sex unions.
That's what I'm saying. But
so I can't bless it. And so what I told the couple who were not married,
Mike,
I said,
fired.
Come, see me Saturday. We'll work on the papers. I'll get you married in 2 weeks. There are no obstacles.
Wait. What diocese are you in that can get that done in 2 weeks?
Here.
Depending on the age of the couple.
They've never been married.
Ah, okay.
They've never been married. I said, we can do the paperwork of that real fast. I can call the diocese, right. Get you going.
So why do we need this document to do that?
Good question.
Dave, why do we need this document to do that? So that goes back to, what is the intent of this document? Why now? Why 4 days before the incarnation of Jesus Christ we're going to celebrate as a very, very high and holy day on the liturgical calendar? Why are we dealing with this today?
And whatever happened to responses to dubia, to dubium? They're supposed to clarify it. We're not getting any clarification. This is the second time.
Wait.
You got one yes, one no.
The successor of Peter is not going to be told what to do by a bunch of renegade cardinals. And secondly, he did respond.
No.
He just didn't respond the way they wanted him to. We can bring that up in our last section, because I do think there is a tie-in for all of this. But as we're working our way to our second break, again, let's be clear. We are all deacons of the church. We all support the church documents. We support Pope Francis. He is the rightful pope and heir, a successor of Peter. We're just trying to understand, and we're definitely not challenging. We're trying to love. And yes, every listener of WSFI is a child of God, and therefore it has full dignity and rights and love, and we love them. We're just trying to understand some of the issues that
are
going on.
Yes.
And we should pray for every member. So we're here on our second break here at WSFI on the Deacon's Roundtable on FM 88.5, AM 750, and on your computer. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back shortly.
Drink from the cup of his forgiveness. Never mind where you have been before. Everyone is welcome. Open is his door. So come.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information, including a virtual tour and First Communion dress fitting appointment scheduling, is available on our website at HolyFamilyCatholicBookstore.com.
Want an example of a false sense of security? How about relying on the life insurance you get through work to pay for all of your final expenses? Do you have plans to retire someday? Or do you plan on working for that company for the rest of your life? The fact is, you may lose your life insurance when you leave a company. I'm Matt Tomlinson from Catholic Financial Life, and I invite you to share your hopes and dreams with me. To discuss your options for protecting your family, call me at 847-548-MATT. That's 847-548-6288. Products and services not available in all states.
My name is Father Dominic Pelosi. I'm a member of the Priests of the Sacred Heart. I have been ordained for 41 years. St. Paul tells us, how shall they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe unless they have heard of him? And how can they hear unless there is someone to preach? We have the opportunity for Catholic Radio to do exactly that, to bring the Word of God into our houses, but more importantly, into our hearts.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIRadio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Want an example of a false sense of security? How about relying on the life insurance you get through work to pay for all of your final expenses? Do you have plans to retire someday? Or do you plan on working for that company for the rest of your life? The fact is, you may lose your life insurance when you leave a company. I'm Matt Tomlinson from Catholic Financial Life, and I invite you to share your hopes and dreams with me. To discuss your options for protecting your family, call me at 847-548-MATT. That's 847-548-6288. Products and services not available in all states.
Thank you. Taste and see the Lord is good. Drink from the cup of his forgiveness. Never mind where you have been before. Everyone is welcome. Open is his door. So come to his table. Leave your sins behind. Open up your heart to him. Seek and you will find. And in the mystery, you will know the beauty of letting.
We're back on the Deacon's Roundtable here in WSFI, FM 88.5, AM 750 on your radio. And thank you for joining us. We're talking about a very controversial topic this week because, you know, one of the great things about Francis is we should be talking about these type of things because sweeping it under the table and hiding from these issues doesn't make it any better. And I always tell the people in our RCIA programs that if you can't challenge your faith, you don't have much of a faith. So we are, again, we are not here challenging the church. We are certainly not challenging the Supreme Pontiff of the church. We're just trying to understand, and we're having a conversation to try to understand where we're going with this is. As deacons of the church, we are faithful to the magisterium, and God bless everyone. Despite the lives that they live, because, you know, kind of hard to believe, Mike, Deacon Greg's not always so perfect, and he's the center too. And,
really,
you know,
really.
It's kind of hard to believe that, but you know, we have to recognize that, and you know, and I think whenever we read these documents, I think we ought to focus on what it means to me, you know, because we so worry about other people, and it's important. We evangelize. We want everyone in Christ to. God has many rooms, and we want everyone heaven to be full. But sometimes, as Dave was alluding to, when we say we don't, you know, people don't read the documents, we also don't say it's like, let's look at your sin. But you know, it's important for me to look at my sin. Where's my hypocrisy? Am I worthy to receive the communion today? Because you know, that's just as important. Sometimes we get so focused on what other people and whether they're worthy to receive the communion. No one's worthy, but you know, have the right to do it. But sometimes I feel like we forget. Where's my worthiness? Have I been to reconciliation recently? Have I fulfilled my diaconal obligation of once a month going to reconciliation? Am I doing all those aspects? You know, we have to worry about the interior. I'm certain we have to, all the other issues are important, but how often do we discern these and how it affects my life, my view? Am I living the Christian life that I profess to be living? And I need some work on that. So to be honest, we all do. But Mike, you have a strange face, which you can't see on the radio. Dave can see it because I have my iPad pointed at you. But
I want to make a distinction between pastoral and doctrinal. So I think we're talking about doctrine and pastoral relations, and we're mixing them all up. I think some of the questions has to do with doctrine. Okay. Whether we can do it, yes or no. I think that's the whole idea why the bishops were asking. They had doubts, your dubium, regarding certain issues. And these are the questions being asked of them as cardinals and bishops, asked of them by their faithful, by their priests maybe. Okay. And so it needs clarification. And if we come up with a document like this, and are you saying it's 4 days before Christmas, where's our peace now, okay? We're focusing so much on ourselves, okay, this Christmas, so that we can go through and be ready to receive our Savior. But now you throw in a document like this, and what happens? And we know the media will feed on it. And what happens to our peace of mind? What happens to people who are not as well catechized, okay, as maybe deacons are? And so you have created a lot of problems.
Or maybe shine a light on where we think we're great and we're not. I mean, it is a double-edged sword. And, of course, I do believe, and you guys are welcome to disagree with this, but I think the elephant in the room is Strickland and Burke. Because, not that they, on this particular issue, but if this was written for the German bishops,
mm-hmm.
Why are the German bishops getting letters and American bishops being fired?
I like that. You know? I like that, yes.
And granted... I actually don't have an issue with Strickland and Burke being fired, to be honest with you. If I said half the things that they've said in the media where I work, I'd be fired too. I'm not defending Burke and Strickland because I think they went too far in what they had to say. But if you're going to move those guys off to the side, why aren't you moving the bishops in Germany off to the
side?
Good question. Dave, you want to jump in there?
A couple things. First of all, in the Strickland thing, I think that was probably not so much what was said, but according to all the reports, is how the diocese was run. And having him open up his mouth probably didn't help matters at all.
The real issue with Strickland is that we don't know. That's the whole issue. We don't know with Burke. So we're making assumptions.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. But okay. I'm just saying, if you're moving in on those two very big
just leave bright
light
alone.
People,
yes.
But if you're shining a light on those people, why aren't we shining a light on the Germans? Why are we? Yes. Why is it because Germans donate so much money to the church that we're not going to come down on them? We don't know what's being said directly to those guys. We don't know if there's letters in going back and forth or Francis is calling them or anything else. But all we can say is what we see. We see them making move on American bishops. We have the comments that American bishops the Americans are the fault of all the global warming, which is actually a little bit true, but at the same time,
not the bishops.
I want to get back to actually this document because that's more relevant to my life than dealing with Burke or Strickland.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. If this is to address the German bishops, why aren't the German bishops being dealt with?
Why not the German bishops?
Were addressed in this letter, and he also addressed the doctrinal issues that were raised by those cardinals. All right. One of the questions that you asked earlier.
But they never complied. The German bishops never complied. I didn't see any letter that says, yes, you're right, we're going to follow what the Pope says.
Why don't you wait and see what happens with this document? But one of the questions that was asked earlier, why now? And I took a much more pastoral approach of saying the greatest gift of love that we have ever received, we're going to be celebrating in 4 to 5 days. And if you look at this saying that, blessings can be given to all people, that's an extension of that love. And I can't think of a better time to show the world that we really are part of God's love, and we need to give those blessings and share that love with everybody.
And I agree with you. And when I think of this document, I go back. I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. What would Jesus do? In this situation with these couples, what would Jesus do? He would not slam the door in their face and say, "Get out of here and come back when your act got together." He'd sit down and talk to you, right? And I don't like the term pastoral approach because I think that's Jesuit nonsense that we're listening to.
Agree. Yes, it is.
But if we look at what would Jesus do in this, does this document help us to act as Jesus, which we all need to act as Jesus would do? Does this help us on how to approach these situations? Because we still want to say doctrinally it's wrong, but we still want to embrace the person and try to lead the person into a better relationship with Christ.
Jesus will do what.
I don't see how this document helps me there.
I agree with you. So if Jesus were around, you know what he would do? He would say
he'd fire both of us.
Whoever has no sin, throw the first stone. And then after no one throws the stone, he says, "Hey, sinner, okay, whoever, sin no more."
Yeah, but he can say that, and the priest can say it.
The joke that goes behind that one, the stone does fly, and Jesus yells out, "Mother!"
And the good point is that I agree. I'm not the one who should be throwing that stone. But
one of the other things on pastoral experience that I have had, working with those communities, there's two different couples that I know, one of male and one of female, that have been together for 50 years. I don't know at this point, for example, if they're sexually active or not, but they have a very stable relationship and they go to church faithfully every single week. Now,
let me finish, please. Okay.
You can argue that they're not in right relationship with God, and they have work to do in their lives, and I accept that. I also had a couple that I met this week at church who were in their elderly couple who want to get married, and between them they've had 8 marriages. They've all been sort of annulled or were not viewed as marriages because they were civil, etc. And they are wanting to be married, have their marriage convalidated, and work rightly with God. Now, both of all of those couples, I really want to see them become closer to God, because that's my goal. The same as I want to come closer to God. And so we're all sort of working on walking this journey and trying to get to the same end post, the same goal of being closer to God. And I think that's how I approach it. I hope other people approach it the same way. Okay, but now your comments.
Well, I mean, certainly we want to see everyone closer to God. I mean, that yes. And you know, being that they're a long-term couple is irrelevant. I mean, I've been in long-term sin myself for many years. I just think that, you know, let's take the same sex out of it. Let's make it pornography or anything else. They're not in a right relationship with God. We don't want to work with them. We want to help them stop them. Our teaching for this is that you should not be receiving the communion if you're in that state of sin.
That's correct.
So how is this any different? So you're in a relationship. Cool. That's fine. But why do the teachings of the church, why are we trying to change the biblical teachings of the church, handed down from the apostles?
Yes.
Old and New Testaments, especially St. Paul. The document says we're not going to change those doctrines. I agree. But the document is also saying we're going to dance with them, though.
Yes. I like the way you put that. Yes.
And I don't want to.
I like that. We'll sing karaoke with them.
And so, Dave, I'm saying, yes, I understand. I embrace what you want to do, and that is the goal for everyone. And that's my biggest question is, how do I invite these people into a relationship with God, but I still have to say, go and sin no more? And or God will say, go and sin no more. So what the challenge with this document is, I don't have that path forward. And I
think, Deck, the path forward that you just mentioned, I think, is the way to go, but it's not where you go on your first meeting.
Yes, but I'm not giving a blessing on the first meeting either. I mean, certainly you bless the individual by all those things. But yeah. But you can't get around the fact that I can't bless that union.
I cannot agree bless with you, and I would say that to him. I would say, I can't formally bless your union because...
But you're saying that this person's, you know, they've been faithfully going to church for 50 years. Well, no, they haven't, because they have not worked on breaking the union. Exactly. They have not given up the pornography. They have not given it. I have not given up my love of chocolate. You know, I haven't, you know, there are sins in my life that I'm still struggling with. And, of course, maybe the great recognition of the document is that we are all wounded, all that other stuff, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going to talk about that 4 days before Christmas, because God came in to fix that. But... again, if you're going to make this document, like as Mike said, it's an introduction, if anything, because I don't have a path forward. Mike doesn't have a path forward. Dave thinks he has a path forward. I God bless him. We all have different styles and things like that. Yeah. But we are a universal Catholic church. The path forward should be the same in Chicago and the same in Green
yes.
Bay and the same in Rome
yes.
and the same in Germany
exactly.
and the same in Tennessee.
Especially Germany, yes.
And we don't have that. I mean, granted, we didn't have it before this document. We didn't have it. We've never had that in reality. I mean, there's always different dioceses doing different things. But that should be what we're targeting. But we didn't have this ambiguity in John Paul. Of course, it's a different style. But
yeah, very different style, yes.
But
maybe
again,
there's going to be another document after this giving clarity because of the questions that are being raised actually at this table.
Has there been a document yet that gives... You know, but I think that's going to come from the U.S. bishops. I don't think that's going to come from the Rome. And maybe that's
the
way
U.S.
it should
bishops
be.
Actually gave a very strong statement saying that they agreed with what was going on the pastoral approach. They agreed.
I don't think anyone disagrees with it.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone.
It was reinforcement of the documents of the church as far as marriage goes. And they said this document strongly said that, and the pastoral approach about welcoming people.
Well, what I'm really seeing
is... Is that the message you're getting from Martin and from Cardinal Supic?
For Martin, I think he's been pushing the envelope a little bit, even the last day or two. Supic, I read his letter, or his response, and that seemed to be right in line
as far as being open. With all respect to the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, I thought it was a little bit pandering. But the, I don't think it's not the response I don't think it's, we know he's always going to give us a cheerleading response to the Pope anyway, but which a cardinal should. That's his job. But the I guess we need to leave it there.
Yeah, We don't know yet. We don't know yet what they have to say.
And we have to wait. But this is a great thing. This is a time we're covering many dioceses in the WSFI here. It's a time to pray. It's a time to pray for the future of the church, and it's also a time for us to say, the Holy Spirit is in charge. Let us go where the Holy Spirit takes us. But do we have the faith? Do we have the faith that the Holy Spirit is going to take us where we want to go? Well, we have to say it's not where we want to go; it's where God wants to go, and we have to follow. And we have to follow our bishops because that's the way Jesus set it up for us to do. And so, hopefully, from this hour that we have, we are faith seeking understanding. And we are certainly not saying that, this is a document, don't follow, blah, blah. We are in full agreement with the magisterium. And like I said, there's nothing in the document that I see is a doctrinal shift. I know there are people here we've talked to that do see this aspect of it. And again, that's the issue I have. Why not? Why this ambiguity, this clarity? And for some people, they think it's crystal clear. Cool. For Mike and I, it's not so crystal clear. So that means Mike and I have to pray on it a lot more. quit our writing and pray more.
I still really need to know whether the relationship is being blessed. That's still my question for the document. Are we blessing the relationship or the individual?
You know what you're going to be praying about over Christmas?
I don't think the relationship... Some people are saying the relationship's being blessed. That should not be the intent of the document. So if it's ambiguous, there we have that issue.
Yeah, no, that is. I didn't see that intent in the document at all. But that's just personal.
And Angela's kicking us off here on WSFI. We've beaten this. Thank you for listening here at WSFI. And as we're filling out our Christmas cards and willing wishes, remember that's WSFI in your Christmas list, and send us a donation to keep Catholic Radio on the air here at WSFI 88.5 FM.